With each day, there are advancements with COVID-19, which can sometimes feel overwhelming. We talked last week with Ogden Clinic's Dr. Nadine Bakazi about overlooked positive points that we call blind spots and wanted to get an update on the bright side and blind spots of COVID-19. We see this weekly update as an opportunity to recalibrate expectations and provide calm information about the coronavirus. Welcome to The Daily Diagnosis, a healthy lifestyle podcast provided by Ogden Clinic. We're your prescription for health-centered conversation, stories, and advice. I'm Parker Shaw, and with the help of my team and featuring the talented providers of Ogden Clinic, you'll reach a positive prognosis for your podcast addiction by listening to The Daily Diagnosis. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We are here with Dr. Nadine Bakazi, who is an ear, nose, and throat specialist for Ogden Clinic. And Dr. Bakazi has been here updating us with the coronavirus, and we're back. I guess you could call this our weekly update with Dr. Bakazi. How are you doing, Dr. Bakazi?
Oh, good, Parker. Thank you for asking.
Good. So, you know, a lot has happened since last week. It's crazy how just several days can really result in a lot of changes in the news with this coronavirus. And we just wanted to kind of check in with you to ask what kind of updates we should be looking for and what's probably the most prevalent thing that we should know now after last week.
For sure. I think these are good questions. First of all, let's start off with an update. Where we find ourselves the end of March here, 31st day of March, there's a ramp up in the number of coronavirus cases nationally. Everyone is aware of New York City and the numbers there are seeing a tremendous numbers of escalation, so much so that they're taxing the hospital system and the care personnel needs there. So where we're at in Utah is actually pretty good. We've had 800 cases with only 4 fatalities, which leads the nation in cases above 500 cases. We have a 0.5% mortality, which is great. Yeah. It's important to understand why New York is ramping up so quickly. Obviously, the density of people matter. I think you're seeing New York take off because of the numbers of people that are in a closed area, and it's tough to get social distancing done. New Orleans, same thing with Mardi Gras having finished within the last month. You're seeing tremendous numbers in New Orleans, also Detroit and Chicago are taking off. So I think we have a relative advantage here being more separated in Utah. And I think that bodes well for the future. Realize, Parker, we're only in the very first week of what is seen as about a 4-week ramp up. So I don't want to be too premature in being positive, but I do think that there's good news coming up for Utah. An update from the hospital. Ogden Regional is only using 4 of 11 ventilators, and they have a capacity for up to 30 more. So the nice thing about the hospitals here is we're really nowhere near capacity. So I think that's reassuring to people for those, for themselves or the loved ones that get sick, that have a potential of having hospital beds available, which is something that New York is really taxing their system. Let's talk a little bit about the diagnosis. You know, when we look at Utah's numbers, only 5% diagnostic rate for coronavirus. That means 95% of the people presenting with upper respiratory infections are showing up with other viruses, parainfluenza, influenza A, metapneumovirus, all these other viruses are out there. So I want people to keep in mind coronavirus right now is a minority of what are affecting people. Obviously, it's the most concerning because it does have a death rate that seems to be higher than the flu. I want to reemphasize to people that those people with comorbidities, hypertension, heart disease, asthma, we have to be very careful among patients. In fact, one of the deaths that occurred in the last several days was a 24-year-old girl, but she had a history of diabetes and had heart surgery. So again, traditionally, young people do well, but if older people are having comorbidities, we have to be very, very careful with them, isolating them and preventing them. So right. From a diet, 5% is low. That means most people are not having coronavirus. Now realize that testing is lagging. So we expect the numbers over the next several weeks to grow. So I want people not to be alarmed by escalating numbers because realize we're only testing probably 1 out of every 10 people that really have it at this point, although those numbers are growing. So good news in you, people are doing well. Let's talk a little bit about treatment. There's some exciting news on the front about the use of an anti-malarial medication called hydroxychloroquine in combination with an antibiotic called Zithromax. It's being used by the FDA compassionately in hotspot areas like New York City to get people's symptoms under control. there's something about this peculiar medication that's been known for 70 years, the hydroxychloroquine, that's effective at stopping virus spreading and division. So it's really important to understand that.
Okay, that's good and interesting to know. I'm glad that Utah, you know, we seem like we're in a good place, but I think what you mentioned about not being too, like, not taking that lightly and, you know, remembering that, you know, we're having to achieve that by being safe. What do you think the next 2 weeks will look like for Utah?
Great question. We're going to be seeing larger numbers of cases diagnosed. That should not alarm people because expectations are there. We expect around Easter, maybe the week after Easter, 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to see a plateau in the numbers of new cases. That's been at least the trend of what we've seen in the earlier states. If you look at Washington state, they're starting to see a plateau in the number of cases. They used to be the top state in terms of newly diagnosed cases. They've dropped to like number 6 or 7. We're also seeing that in other countries. There seems to be about an 8-week ramp up and then ramp down on this virus. But also realize 8 weeks, that time is important to understand. Those have been in countries that have practiced mitigation, which is social distancing. That's not left for the virus just to run amok among the population. So I think with our social distancing, we're expecting about a 2 to 3 week peak. So expect the numbers to go up. Expect the mortality numbers to stay low in Utah because we're not taxing services. And the hospitals are very much prepared. Like I said, Ogden Regional has 11 ventilators, but they have the capacity to go up to 30 in case of an emergency. We as physicians have cut down our elective surgeries over the next couple of weeks to make sure supplies are available, masks, gowns, and gloves for all medical personnel, and to make sure enough doctors are available. So I think Utah is ahead of the curve that way. But again, we haven't seen the peak. So I want to reserve judgment for about another 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think that's wise because, yeah, like we mentioned at the beginning, so much can change. And I think, you know, staying safe, staying socially distant from people, even though it's hard, is really important. It's going to be a key factor in keeping us in that that good position that we're in. Turning it a little bit over to you, what else do you think we should know or consider moving forward?
Well, I just want the Utahns to feel comfortable about where they're at. I think to have a calm assertiveness that this will pass, especially as the warmer weather rolls in. It has a natural history in and of itself to be seasonal. We think that's the case. But I think that people are really doing a great job. They're doing a great job about isolating, provisioning for themselves, making sure loved ones with comorbidities are protected. You know, it's interesting. It seems like we tend to have a healthier state. We don't have a large smoking population. And it looks like a lot of the deaths in Italy were among older men who smoked. I think we mentioned that last week. So I think we're at least prospectively in a good position. Mm-hmm. But I think just monitoring everyone, making sure that anybody who shows early sickness gets into the hospital and gets treated right away. And there's some excitement on the treatment front. I think once the hydroxychloroquine gets approved, which I think it will in the next few weeks as the trials come in, I think we're going to have a therapy that really can mitigate the viral load and the disease severity for the people who really suffer from this. And most people, as we said last week, 80% are going to have mild symptoms. So I think it's a reason to be concerned, but not a crisis mode by any means.
Perfect. Well, that's good. And that gives me some peace of mind as well. Dr. Pokrzywski, this is kind of a random question. I was just having a talk with my friends the other day and we're wondering, you know, when this does plateau and things start getting back to normal, what is that normal going to look like? Because, you know, is it going to be like a slow ease back into our old reality, or is it going to have to be something where we have to constantly consider social distancing and this virus? Because will it go away? Who knows? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so there's some speculation that this is a seasonal virus and may come back with us in the fall and winter. But realize by then, everyone's going to be much better prepared. We're going to have therapies that will be approved. We certainly will be in the front end of vaccines. They're talking about getting early vaccination sometime in the fall and winter. I think it's going to look different in the fall and winter. Everyone will be cautious going back to work and going out to eat and keeping distancing. It's probably, you know, reasonable for people to be cautious. I think realizing that we prepared for the worst, but we expected the best. I think cautiousness will be appropriate for people, but I think that people are going to return back to their relatively normal way of life, at least for the short term. And then we're going to have to see where this virus affects us in the fall and winter. But again, we're going to be much better prepared. So I realize everyone's been very concerned because this has been very unusual. We've never seen this, at least in my lifetime. You know, you'd have to go back to 1968 to the swine flu that really affected people worldwide. And I don't think it even caused that much of a disruption. So this, you know, our generation has really never seen it this level become a pandemic. You really have to go back to the Spanish flu of 1918. I do want to caution people that in the Spanish flu of 1918, there was a second wave that tended to have a higher mortality. So we really want to restrict people, at least in the short term, so we don't end up with a second wave of illness. But I really think we're going to be better prepared for people when it comes back in the fall and winter, if it even does descend any degree. I think we'll be able to resume our normal way of life and just being cautious and optimistic.
Perfect. Well, that was great. You answered my question perfectly. Is there anything else you'd want to mention to our followers before we wrap things up?
No, just that they're doing a great job. And the people I've talked to are really high spirits. And I think we're going to be able to address in the medical community, we're going to get back to routines probably in the middle to the third week of April. So for those people who need to be seen for other elective issues, we'll get back to that. But I think we're in a good position, and everyone at the clinic has done a great job at mitigating. And also I thank you, Parker, for communicating, because sometimes people are just reading news reports, and you know, the news report commonly says if it bleeds, it leads. So you always get the worst of things, but realize most of the country is doing well. And most of the governors are looking at preventing this from becoming a widespread issue. I should mention Salt Lake and Park City are under some restrictions because those seem to be the hot spots in Utah. So I don't want to say every place in Utah is the same, but I do think Salt Lake and Park City, it is important for people in that area to treat it very seriously and really try to restrict it. And I think if you look at why it's taken off there, it's really the ski community, which gathered together late in the illness, probably end up spreading it much more frequently because they were in a closed, confined area like Park City, and that tended to be a hot spot. But I think most of Utah is adequate.
Okay. Well, that's great to know. Well, for those of us that have tuned in, those of you that have tuned into this video, this is Dr. Nadim Bakazi of Ogden Clinic. He's one of our ear, nose, and throat specialists, and we're really grateful to have had him on for this weekly update on the coronavirus. For those of you that are watching or who are interested, this will also be available on our Apple podcast, which is called The Daily Diagnosis. So you can find the audio of this there, and we will continue to be putting out communication and updates as the days move on. And we really are glad and hopeful that things, you know, are okay and doing all right, but we really can't wait to see this get better. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Bakazi, and we hope that you have a great day.
Thanks, Parker, for everything you do.
Sure. Take care. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of The Daily Diagnosis. We're so happy that you joined us today. If you would like to find more information about Ogden Clinic, our providers, or locations, visit us at ogdenclinic.com. If you're listening today from Apple Podcast app, make sure you leave us a review or subscribe so you can receive more information about the different episodes that we post. We love getting feedback from our audience, so those reviews are priceless to us. If you also would like to shout us out on social media, our Instagram handle is at Ogden Clinic. You can also send us a DM if there's a topic that you would like our providers to cover, and we really look forward to hearing from you. We post episodes weekly, so tune in next week, and we can't wait to be with you again. Have a great week.